Well, you may have heard of Ken Ham before as the president and founder of the Creation Museum in Kentucky and the nearby Ark Encounter, where you can visit a full-scale model of Noah's Ark from the Bible. Ken Ham is a creationist, and as you heard him say there, he believes there are drawbacks to teaching science to students. And that's why there's been some controversy since it was announced that Ken Ham would be speaking at a homeschooling convention here in Canada. The Alberta Home Education Association invitation has sparked questions about what kind of oversight provincial governments should have in regulating homeschooling. Approximately 100,000 students are homeschooled in our country today. Paul Enns is a Calgary father of three. He also runs a YouTube channel dedicated to debunking the myths of creationism and the teachings of Ken Ham in particular. Paul Enns is in Calgary. Hello.
Good morning, Pia.
What was your reaction when you heard Ken Ham is coming to Alberta to address the homeschooling conference?
Well, certainly my heart sank, given that I've spent so much of my time trying to minimize the effect that he can have on children, my children, anyone's children. So the fact that he was coming to my home province was pretty devastating.
And just to be clear, Paul, you used to follow Ken Ham and you taught his ideas to your very own kids.
That is actually correct. I was once a very Bible literalist believer with a very narrow view of what I thought the scripture taught. And I was a follower of everything he would have said at one point in my life, but I've since turned around.
And what changed your mind?
I was really suffering a lot of cognitive dissonance as an adult when I kind of came into my own. I was doing some research for a graphic novel I was writing regarding dinosaurs, and I started needing to check into what real science said, not just what my Bible and my pastors told me. And as I learned, the gap between reality and what I was taught became wider and wider. So I thought I would solve this cognitive dissonance by looking up Ken Ham's work. And now he has the leading selling books on convincing Christians that the science of the Bible is true. But as I read it, it just became more and more ridiculous. And I came to understand through his works that what I believed was wrong. And it's a very devastating thing.
And Paul, for some years you had taught your own children the teachings of Ken Ham, and then you realize, no, I don't want to do that anymore. I mean, how do you undo the teaching, unteach something like that once you've passed it on to your kids? What's been your experience?
Unfortunately, you know, I haven't had a lot of success in undoing it. They continue to remain believing what I originally taught them. They are skeptical now of my new changed opinion, although fortunately, actually, even this week and in discussing Ken Ham's coming, I've been able to open some of those discussions a little broader. So I guess that's one good thing that's come out of this, but I fear what it will do to other kids.
How old are your kids?
My oldest is 19, and I also have a 14 and a 16-year-old.
And they still believe some of these things that you once taught them and then tried to unteach them?
They do indeed. They would deny evolution. They would deny a long age of the earth, for example. And fortunately, they are a little more moderate on things like climate change and some of the other things that Ken denies.
You, just to be clear, your kids went to public school in Alberta, and you also went to public school growing up. So you learned this stuff in your own home after school hours, so to speak.
Yeah, that's correct. Yes. And actually, I was fortunate to live in a home of two teachers. My parents were teachers. So I valued public education very much, even though they believed very much what a typical homeschool Christian family at least might believe. So I learned it at church and in the evenings and at a Bible school setting and all that kind of thing.
And so, Paul Enns, what would you say to parents who say they have the right to teach their children how they want fit, homeschool or not?
I absolutely respect everyone's right to any religious beliefs that they want to hold. But in this country, we actually hold some things above the right to religion. So, for example, if your religious beliefs endanger the health of your child, we don't allow that. Or in the same way, I believe that the education of a child should be held up at the same kind of standard as their physical health. Their mental health is equally important. And we have provincial and national curriculums that we have decided as a country that we value. We value science education for the future of our country and for technology and our viability of our economy. So your right to religious belief shouldn't extend past the basic things that we really value that we want our kids to learn.
I want to play a bit of tape from you. We spoke to Marlon Arnold. He's a recent engineering student, graduate from the University of Victoria. He was homeschooled, where you are in Alberta. And here's what he had to say about his experience.
I really liked the freedom that entailed, and it allowed me to deeply and creatively look into subjects or my interests. Like, it allowed me to do things that a lot of people hadn't done, like the computer club that was between me and some friends. I got an introduction to coding back when I was 12 years old. For me, I was able to put a lot of time into it, and I got a solid foundation. So when I got to post-secondary and I was doing these classes, I was a lot more comfortable with doing coding and computer stuff than my classmates.
Paul Lentz, Marlon Arnold says the freedom homeschooling gave him also gave him an edge. What's your reaction to what he had to say?
Certainly, I don't deny that there, for some children, that homeschooling is an excellent way to learn. And I'm not debating either the right of Ken to come speak to these groups or the right of anyone to homeschool their own children. What I really I'm fighting for is the minimum standards and for not science denials. And by bringing Ken in, I really think that it signals a bit of a lack of a judgment and or even a deliberate defiance of provincial curriculum, because what Ken is teaching is so opposite to what we would say is normal science education. Like that individual experience, he experienced computer science, and that's great. That's the kind of thing I would definitely be fighting for. Mm.
You mentioned, you know, what the role of government. I just want to say that we did invite David Eggen, Alberta's education minister, to be on the show. He declined. We did receive a statement from his office, and I just want to read part of it, which says, all students, no matter what format of education they receive, are expected to learn from the Alberta programs of study, by which he means from the current Alberta curriculum. Paul Lentz, in your view, is the government doing enough to ensure that all kids being homeschooled are getting an education on par with kids in our public school systems?
I don't think they're doing enough. Not only are the every in here in Alberta, we do provincial testing every 3 years, but it's very limited in its scope. And also, there is very little oversight in terms of how that stuff is taught. I believe that how one learns is almost as important as what they learn. Critical thinking is what I think is we need to value even more and more in this culture that we have with the internet and everything else, fake news out there. And critical thinking is the exact opposite of the kind of indoctrination that Ken Ham and his proponents kind of would want to teach their children. They want them to not question authority and not learn on their own. They want to just be handed the answers up front. And that's, in my view, that's the wrong way to teach a child.
Paul Lentz, thank you for your time.
You're very welcome.
Take care. Paul Lentz is a Calgary father of three. He also runs a YouTube channel dedicated to debunking the myths of creationism and the teachings of Ken Ham. Paul Lentz is in Calgary. We also request an interview with a representative from the Alberta Home Education Association. That is the group that has invited Ken Ham to their convention. No one was available. The group did, however, send us a statement. It says that their group is not exclusionary and that its convention is simply offering parents a wide variety of educational resources. Judy Arnold is president of the Alberta Home Education Parents Society. It is a homeschool advocacy group. She homeschooled her five children, including Marlon, who we just heard from. Three of her children went on to graduate from university. Judy Arnold joins us from Calgary. Hello.
Good morning.
What do you think? Should homeschoolers be allowed to teach creationism to their children if they deem that to be what they want to do?
Well, according to Alberta, homeschoolers have the right to teach their children any curriculum they want. They can choose to teach the Alberta Program of Studies, but they, contrary to what Minister Eggen said, they don't have to. They can follow a separate schedule of learning outcomes, which cover a basic education.
So you don't have to, as a parent of two toddler kids at home, you don't have to follow any curriculum.
No, you don't, actually, and that's a really good thing. I think if you follow the government curriculum, your children are going to be very lacking in a lot of skills. The curriculum doesn't get changed for about 15 years. Our math curriculum now is 10 years old. When you look at what's missing in the curriculum, there's no formal instruction in computer coding, in personal finance, in developing robotics and apps, in child development. Handwriting is is no longer taught. These are skills and knowledge that children need to succeed in life and to prepare them for post-secondary. And these are things that if we had to teach the Alberta Program of Studies, we wouldn't have time to teach what we think kids need.
And Judy Arnold, why do you think parents such as yourself, who aren't qualified teachers, are better equipped than Alberta's Education Ministry to decide what and how to teach our children?
Parents know where their child is academically every second of every day. They have lifelong experience of knowing their child's personality, their temperament, their learning style. They have lots and lots of time for discussions to develop that critical thinking that Paul Enns was talking about. Kids have time to read. They have time to travel. And parents are not teaching a classroom of 30 people's other kids. They are only teaching their own child. And yes, there are worries that some children may fall through the cracks, not get an adequate, good education. But in Alberta, kids are adults at age 18, and they still have 2 to 3 years of funded education to follow the Alberta Program of Studies if they want to.
And meaning that you get in Alberta, everyone who homeschools gets $850 of taxpayers' money to homeschool their children, right?
That's right. Yes, it's to offset the cost. It doesn't fully fund a home education program, but it's to purchase resources. And when you compare what kids in school get, they get about $15,000 a year to educate. So we're saving taxpayers a lot of money.
And Judy Arnold, how does that compare to other provinces? Alberta, you say you don't have to teach the provincial curriculum. You also get money to homeschool your children. What's happening in other provinces?
Alberta is the most regulated province in that we don't have to teach the provincial curriculum, but we do have to follow the government's schedule of outcomes for home educators. Other provinces do not get any funding, and they don't have to have 2 certified teachers come out a year and do evaluations. They can pretty much be left alone, which is kind of nice. A lot of people want that.
I'm trying to understand this discrepancy. The Alberta Education Minister is saying you have to teach the provincial curriculum. You have to follow those guidelines. You're saying, no, we don't.
No, we don't. No, it's not correct. We follow a different program.
Okay, I want to play a bit of tape for you as well. We spoke to a woman named Bari Miller. She was homeschooled in Alberta. She doesn't look so fondly back on her education at home.
Well, for me, it was particularly negative. I don't feel that I received an adequate education to prepare me for entering the workforce, going to university. I also reached out on a number of occasions to the homeschooling organization that I fell under for help because I was in a situation of abuse in my family, and they basically just swept me under the rug.
Judy Arnold, what would you say to someone like Ms. Miller who felt she was unsupported while homeschooled and that her education left her ill-prepared for adulthood?
There are gaps in everywhere, and there are gaps in public school, there are gaps in home education, and I feel sorry for Ms. Berry's case, but when kids become teenagers, their executive function develops, they develop their critical thinking, and many kids go online and see what the entrance requirements are for post-secondary, and they think, oh, I'm not getting this. And luckily, when they're 18, they can choose their education. They can pick up high school requirements, and they can do it themselves.
But there are a lot of people. You can't just learn everything when you're 18. There is a gradual progression over the years. How does the province determine if children are progressing adequately in their education?
Every child progresses at different rates. And yes, they are learning, even though they're not workbook learning. Children are learning everything. In fact, many kids are self-taught. They don't do any workbooks, textbooks. They learn in different ways through the internet, and they can challenge the diploma exams in Alberta, and they can get marks and credits to validate the knowledge they've acquired through different ways. It doesn't have to be school delivered. It doesn't have to be through paper.
Do you think that all children and all parents are well suited for homeschooling in our country?
I think everybody homeschools from age 0 to 5. And if some parents want to continue, they can.
We also know that a lot of people from ages 0 to 5 are left in front of screens and not taught a lot of things by their parents.
Yeah, but they're still learning.
All right, Judy Arnold, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Bye-bye. Take care. Judy Arnold is the president of the Alberta Home Education Parent Society. It is a homeschool advocacy group. She is in Calgary. Now let's go to someone who has been studying homeschooling in Canada for 2 decades and says there are some myths about it that could use some debunking. Robert Berard is a professor in education at Mount St. Vincent University in Halifax, and we have reached him there. Hello.
Good morning.
You were listening in. What do you make of this debate over how much freedom homeschool instructors should have?
Well, I tend to lean more toward the view of your second guest than the first guest, in the sense that governments, I think, have a certain responsibility to look into cases if they have evidence of abuse or miseducation. But by and large, I think that parents are the best qualified educators, first educators.
Okay, can you give me a little sense of the landscape of Canada? Because as you just heard, Judy Arnell, homeschooling parent, says, I didn't have to follow any provincial curriculum if I didn't want to. The Minister of Education in that province says, yes, you do. So what is the landscape in Alberta and elsewhere in our country when it comes to having to follow regulation or a set curriculum?
Right. I think that she was correct in saying that Alberta is one of the more highly regulated provinces. There are requirements, as I say, for school boards to send teachers out and examine children and see that they are meeting provincial outcomes. They may not follow the curriculum exactly, but they're expected to meet a comparable set of outcomes, particularly if they're looking for money. You know, in other words, homeschoolers can apply for a certain amount of money in Alberta, but not all of them do apply for it. Mm. So wouldn't necessarily.
And so the outcomes are what, tested every couple of years? How do you monitor what is being taught in our homes, homeschools in Canada?
Well, in Alberta, in fact, the school boards will send assessors out to the schools to examine the curricula, to examine the children, and so on. You also have high levels of regulation in Saskatchewan and Quebec, as opposed to, for example, in Nova Scotia, with which I'm most familiar, homeschoolers register with the Department of Education and they submit an annual report on what they've done. The school inspectorate, the Office of the School Inspector in the Department of Education, will review that report. And if he or she finds anything untoward, they'll look into it further. But there's been very little evidence that we found here in Nova Scotia that anyone is miseducating their children.
Mm. Our starting point of this conversation was about Ken Ham coming to the Alberta Homeschooling Conference, and he believes in creationism. You heard from our first guest who thinks it shouldn't be taught to children, especially those who are homeschooled. When you look across the country, you say there is in some places sort of the curriculum testing and people to inspect these things. But beyond that, how much freedom is given to instructors, in many cases parents, in terms of what they can and cannot be teaching their children from province to province?
In general, as I say, on balance, parents are relatively free in Canada compared to many other countries in the world to manage their own curricula. In the same way, independent schools, for example, in Nova Scotia, do not have to follow the provincial curriculum.
Independent schools, like private schools, you mean?
Like private schools, yes. So that, in fact, probably the most academically prestigious private school in Nova Scotia, the Halifax Grammar School, does not follow the provincial curriculum. And the students don't receive a provincial certificate when they graduate. They receive a certificate from the school, and they usually write international baccalaureate exams. So, in other words, the parents who've chosen that independent school have chosen an alternative curriculum, and they're quite happy with it. Similarly, parents who may enroll their children in the Halifax Christian Academy or another Christian school have chosen a different curriculum from the public school curriculum. And those schools do certainly incorporate in their science books elements of creationism. Certainly they introduce creationism as an alternative.
education is a provincial power. Do you think that we should have some kind of national standard when it comes to schooling, homeschooling for our children?
Well, not only do I not think that, but in addition to that, education is a provincial matter under the Constitution. I don't see that the provinces will want to give that up at any time soon. And if all other nine did, I'm sure that the province of Quebec would not. At the same time, the Council of Ministers of Education of Canada do talk with one another, and there is a kind of remarkably similar set of curricula across the country, even to some extent with Quebec. So I really don't see the need for the federal government to be involved in this at all. It's something that education, I think, is best left both constitutionally and practically to the provinces and to the local levels.
In my introduction to you, you are a proponent of homeschooling. I also said you are out to debunk some myths about homeschooling. So let us talk about that. In your view, what are some of the biggest myths about homeschooling?
I think the biggest myth actually that still persists, and I get this from my students who I'm actually working with to become teachers, is that children who are homeschooled are not adequately socialized. And I can tell you from having met homeschool graduates and homeschool students for over 20 years, they are some of the best socialized young people that I've ever met. And in part, that has to do with the fact that homeschool children learn to interact with people of all ages and conditions as they go from place to place with their parents. They're often grouped with the siblings in their own homes of different ages. Homeschool parents often work in co-ops and interact with other homeschool parents, and homeschool children take part in other public activities, and dance and soccer. Schools socialize children in a strict age grade cohort, so that if you're in grade 7, you don't talk to kids in grade 8.
And I think one of the other concerns that people have about homeschooling is the expertise of the parent. In other words, that teachers, you know, get an education, become a teacher, they learn skills, they go to workshops and conferences to learn how to teach that, and parents are kind of just doing it on an ad hoc basis. What do you say to that?
I would say that parents who are going to take the time and make the effort to homeschool their children look for the help that they need. One thing that's often overlooked is that there are some studies that have been done in Canada indicate that almost 20% of the females who have the primary role in homeschooling actually have some teacher education background. And I've taught students in the past who did education programs primarily to improve their skills as teachers of their own children. But beyond that, parents will frequently, if they're not confident in their own teaching abilities, will avail themselves of a curriculum provider who will not only provide materials and books and so on, but will also provide tutoring help online. So that people will find the resources they need, or they will find the resources from other homeschooling parents.
Robert Berard, thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Robert Berard is a professor in education at Mount St. Vincent University in Halifax.